Okay, so today's daf is about Matthias daf Samach Dal, but Matthias Samach Dal be left off Samach Gimel Amar Beis. I believe we reached Amar of Nachman. We reached Amar of Nachman, which is two dots around 12, 13 lines off the bottom of the page. Amar of Nachman. This is actually a one line klal to keep in mind, which really summarizes the concerns of Ribbis. Close Ribbisa. The general klal when it comes to Ribbis is Kol Agar Nater Aser. Any rent, agar, like payment, for waiting for money is usur. So if you're getting a benefit, a monetary benefit, in exchange for the time value of having of giving someone money, or you're giving someone benefit for the time value of being in control of that money, that is a problem, which really gets back to all of our, you know, those agreements we discussed past couple of bud about this psika, paying the money in advance for a future delivery later. So if the pricing is cheaper because of that, or some other benefit that you're giving the buyer because he's giving you the money today, you're really borrowing the money till the time of delivery. At the time of delivery, then it's like a sale. But till that time, it was a loan, and you're giving benefit. That's where it becomes problematic. Vamar of Nachman. Haman diav zuzei the kira. One who gives money to a merchant who deals in wax. V'ka'azli dal dald. And these wax, like, you know, these wax, you know, piles, they go for like four zuz a piece. Vamale, and the merchant says to the buyer, Yavin lach, hey, pay me now, and I'll give you later. I'll deliver the wax to you at five per zuz. Instead of four per zuz, I'll give you five, you know, five portions of wax per zuz. So I'm giving you a better amount because you're giving the money today, which is exactly the example I just gave a minute ago on purpose about this idea of agar nater. The halacha is isnu gabe shari, less nu gabe aser. So Rav Nachman makes a major qualification. If the wax merchant has the stuff in his possession right now, this is like the idea of Yeshle I read earlier, if he has it in his possession, then even though he's only delivering it later, then it's fine. If he doesn't have his possession now, then it's a problem. So we understand why when he doesn't have his possession, it's a problem. Because basically he's borrowing the money now to do a delivery of wax later. And he's giving the guy a better price. He's giving him more wax per for the same amount of money that the market's offering. And he's doing it strictly because he's getting the money earlier, which is, it's like Ribbis, it's like a interest on the loan. But when he has the wax, we view it as if it's a sale right now. It's a sale, meaning really this whole thing's a sale, but it's a delayed sale, which makes the money till the sale takes place, till delivery of the payers, like a loan. But if he has it available, then once again, like we had earlier, since he has it available, we view it not that he actually made a kinyan on it right now, not that the fellow had received it, but the fact that he has it right now to deliver it, therefore, it's as if it's not considered like a loan at all, it's considered like a sale. I could sell it to you instead of the market price of four per zuz, I can sell you five percent. What if I'm a desperate seller and I sell it to you at a discounted rate? That's allowed. It's not Ribbis. It's a discounted sale. So Tovir, I'm giving you a better rate on the sale. That's fine. They were trying to discuss. They were trying to bring up the discussion already whether or not that means, according to Rav Nachman, do you have to give? We're saying if he has that wax and he gives it to him later, that's fine. Is he giving him that same wax later? Does he have to have that? It's really two questions. Number one, does he have to give him what he originally had? At the time of the original money being transferred, does he have to give that same exact wax later, or the fact that he has it is enough? Some Rishonim say he has to give that same wax. Otherwise, if he doesn't give the same wax, it's a problem. And furthermore, the discussion, if according to those, you don't have to give the same wax, do you have to possess all of the wax? Is it sufficient to possess some of it, or do you have to possess all of it in order to avoid Rav Nachman's issue of Ribbis? Okay. Says Rav Pshita, what's Rav Nachman adding with this explanation, the second statement, says Gemara, meaning, we know already, if the guy doesn't have the wax handy, isn't it obvious that he's giving him a better deal, five instead of four? He's giving five instead of four because he gave the money early. That's mamish agar nater. Gemara says, we're talking about a case where there was a seller who had, suppliers that were masa in the town. This merchant had suppliers in town to go to. And let's not forget, he received money. He just received money to go to the suppliers to buy the produce. So I would say that that's similar to what we had earlier, this idea of if the guy doesn't, when we say it's yeshla, it's not a problem for sa basa or the like. If it's yeshla, if he has the sa, right now, it's not a problem to borrow a saw and pay back a saw. If the borrower has a saw right now, it's fine. And we said it doesn't have to have a mamish on him as long as his son can go get it from the attic or can go get it from his warehouse. That's fine as well. I would think getting it from the supplier is the same idea. We even had a stronger, it's funny, the Gemara brings that comparison. I would think we had even a stronger comparison. That was the case of the market price. If there's a shahr, if it's a market price and it's available in the market, that also was considered legabe sabasa and other dinim yeshlei. So I would think the suppliers have it. That's really enough to make it okay. Kamash Bani doesn't have it yet, and therefore in this case, if that was Rachman's chiddush, it's a problem. The chiddush was that even if suppliers have it, if this merchant himself doesn't have it, it's a problem. V'yamar Nachman. And Psak number three, so let's remind ourselves. Psak number one was Agar Notar. Any payment for having money is essentially an interest on the money, and that is Usur. Secondly, if he makes the deal to pay a forward contract, pay me now for stuff I'm going to deliver later, and I'll give you a better rate later when I deliver it, if I have the produce, I'm the seller, and I have the actual product now, that's fine. You know, even though I'm only delivering it later. But if I have it now, it's fine. If I don't have it now, even if the suppliers have it, it's still a problem. If I'm Rav Nachman, din number three, Hamad dies of Pshita Mechayve, a person who borrows, this din is really a totally separate din. A person who borrows money from his friend, relates to Rav, we'll see in a second. Hamad dies of Pshita Mechayve, a person who borrows change from his friend, and he finds more than what he agreed upon. He agreed, he said, I'm going to borrow from you $1,000. And he found there $1,080. If it's a normal mistake that people make, then you assume the lender just made a mistake and the borrower has to return that money to the lender. But if not, we assume that separate from the loan, the lender was giving matana. If it's not an amount that people know make a mistake, then we assume that's not a mistake. It was actually a gift. So, for example, if a guy says, I want to borrow $1,000, and the lender gives him 1,010 crisp $100 bills, and then he gives him on top of that another 20 and a 5. It's not something people make a mistake in. There's no reason to be giving a 20 and a 5 in a $1,000 loan together with 10 crisps. I'm assuming this, my example, that the 20 and the 5 aren't even crisp either. So the 10 crisp hundreds aren't even like a shidduch b'chlal with 20 and the 5. So he assumes it's a gift. He's lending him $1,000 and he's giving him a gift, $25. If, however, he gave 11 crisp hundreds instead of 10, and the agreement was to lend 1,000, the assumption would be that he probably accidentally was, you know, crisp hundreds, something they stick together, any crisp bill, but it's more common to have larger bills that are crisp. They stick together, and he by mistake, gave 11 instead of 10. That's the assumption. Therefore, we say he didn't mean it as a gift. Imar explains, we kind of already spoke this out already. What does it mean, something that the das would make a mistake? Israel are coins, tens and fives, at least at hundreds. Tens and fives. The point is similar types of denominations, and he meted out more than what the plan was, but it's the same denomination he keeps giving out. So it makes sense to make a mistake. That's a normal thing to make a toyasin. But if it's a totally different denomination, then it wasn't a toyas. We assume it's a matana. What if the lender is a guy that's a takif? He's a tough guy. He's not the type of guy that gives out matanas. He doesn't give out gifts. Ma, you're going to say he still gave a gift? Maybe it was stolen. Maybe this guy once stole from him, from the borrower, and he was trying to pay it back. And this was his, you know, Moses' saving face. He wanted to be a mekayim, the mitzvah of Eishvah Zegzela, but he didn't want to, you know, embarrass himself, so he just stuck it in with a loan. One who stole from his friend and he's mavliya into a cheshbon of other money he's giving for some totally different purpose, he is yaitzeh's returning. Now really, this is a big machlekes. If it sounds familiar, I know we're already up to Samach Dalad in Tzatav Yemi Moves, in Bav Metzia, but we had towards the end of the last Masechta in Bavakama, we had whole machlekes, if I remember correctly, it was Rabbi Akiva and Mishmol. We had machlekes and Mishmol, whether you need das bailam when you return a gzela, do you need to have das that the bailam are aware they returned it or not? Okay, but our Gemara seems to be going with the tzad that you don't need das of the nigzel to know that the money is given back, and we're saying that works, and maybe over here that's the scenario, says Gemara. Still, what if the lender is an A, a takif, so he's not a guy that just gives out gifts, and B, he just came from elsewhere. He never had sheikhs with his borrower, so it's not mistaver that he stole from him. My. So what are you going to say? You can't say that it meant as a gift because this guy's a takif, he's a difficult type of guy, a tough guy. Can't say he meant it as a return exhale because he's never dealt with this borrower before. So why would the bar be able to keep it? Amalei, Dilma Inisha, Chuina Gazle, unbelievable. Rav Nachman, Rav Ashi answers that maybe there was a third party that stole, There was someone else that did deal with this borrower who actually stole from him, and he told the lender, I don't want to shame myself, but I wanted to make sure this guy gets back his money. When you go and lend him $1,000 and the $25 that I owe him. Okay, so that's therefore the bottom line is we're saying if it's an amount of money that's not normal to be confused with the rest of the money, we assume it wasn't a mistake, and we assume that it's a gift or payback of a gzela, and he gets to keep it. That is the Gemara. A couple points. First of all, we won't go in order, any particular order, but one point over here is the Rosh Hashanah speak out. Taisus discusses it. What if the guy says Bari that it was a mistake? What if the guy giving the money to the lender says Bari made a mistake? Then avad we believe him there was a mistake and not the bar. Meaning to the extent we're not saying that so pashut as a matana or a heshev as a guzzle that if the guy says it was an accident, we're not going to let him get it back. If he's telling Bari it was a mistake and the recipient admits it was more than what they agreed upon, then I've had to give it back. We're talking about where he's not arguing, tining that it was a mistake. Number one. Number two, the mefarshim are bothered. It's on a basic level. We're saying if it's a goslin, it's very nice if he's a goslin, if you knew the guy. But if you didn't know the guy, how could he be a goslin? Most goslinim are not necessarily going to introduce himself to the people they steal from. So what's the Gemara's tightness? The mefarshim explain what the Gemara's understanding was. We're not talking about an outright goslin. We're talking about someone that stole during doing business. He cheated him out, when the guy came to buy the wares, he didn't, weigh it properly, he didn't charge it properly, he did deals with him and he didn't, pay him out the way he's supposed to. He was maybe not the most scrupulous in his business dealings, but not a guy that walks around stealing. So we're assuming the guy's paying back and he's embarrassed to pay back, but he's paying back in this type of ifen. We're assuming it's someone that he dealt with in the past regularly who just cheated him in a more, we'll call it, a more moira heter, or still gazela, not being matter at all, but a more heter confession. That's the concern we're talking about. You're right. A random goslin that goes into a ganef that goes to people's houses and he hides and steals money. Then Nechami, having no sheikhs to the borrower would not be a role. And we're talking about tapik gazela that happens, or tapik gazela that happens, or gneva, whatever you want to call it, but happens in people that deal together with each other regularly. And one guy was unfortunately cheating the other, and now he is doing tshuva and wants to pay it back. Okay, Amar Rav Kana. Now there is a discussion. This is a whole discussion. Before we go further, one quick piece. I know I said I'm not speaking too much. I'm going to keep it short. But one of the pieces that they discuss, Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Rashi learned the beginning of this Gemara that the lender was lending money and there's some extra money in the loan, and the halacha is that the bar can keep it because it's a matana. Rashi learned that's the direction we're talking about, and that simply seems to be the case. What about the other way? What if when the borrower paid back the lender? And he paid back the $1,000 plus the little extra. So if it's a k'day tayis, if I have to give back. What if it's not k'day tayis? What if it's on purpose? Chara matana after a loan is still a problem. The problem is, and then Rashi didn't say we're talking about such a case. Rashi seems to be saying we're talking about a very simple case. The borrower received extra money. No shaykh has to ribbis. It's not a ribbis issue. It's a totally separate issue of whether or not the guy meant to give the gift or not. But the Rambam seems to bring this halach in both directions, both malva to leva and leva to malva. And the big question is, why when it's leva giving back the malva something extra, even if it is b'teres matana, why is it not a problem of ribbis? It's a big discussion in the first and the case of Mishnah. They want to explain that talking about case, but it wouldn't meet the criteria of the gift. Really, technically, a gift is fine. It's only a rabbinic issue that it looks like ribbis. If you give a gift, it wasn't ribbis ksutza, and give a gift after the loan, looks like you're paying it for the loan. So there's scenarios that we can work around where it wouldn't necessarily be over on the issue of even the rabbinic issue of Rambam's ribbis look like ribbis, and that could be maybe the case Rambam's talking about. But it's a big discussion how Rambam could have a Gemara in both directions. Our Gemara doesn't say it clearly, but Rambam seems to bring it in both directions. Okay. I'm Rav Kana. I was sitting by Rav's shir. Fishamas to come curry curry. And I heard him say the word curry curry. Curry means like gourd. Curry, squash, curry curry. Vladana my comer. And you know what he's talking about? Busted to come Rav after I've got up. I mean, I said to people that were gathered by the shear, my curry curry to come Rav. What's Rav talking about when he says curry curry? I'm relay. Hakama Rav, I'm at the of Zuzi Leginoi Akari. One who gave money to the gardener in order to pay for the gourds that were growing in the garden. Because the Asara curry bene zarta. In the market value, the rate was 10 gourds were going for a zuz. Varmale, and the gardener said, Yavina lech b'nei garmida. I'm going to give you, garmida, these are just much larger gourds. I'm going to give you 10 large gourds, the size of an amma each, for that zuz. So instead of this b'nei zarta, this smaller length, the first say it's a half an amma, half the size. The market price was gourds of a half an amma, 10 for a zuz. And the agreement was this gardener was going to deliver at a later time, took the money today, and deliver 10 gourds the size of an amma for a zuz. So the halacha is, it's new shari. If they already exist, these large gourds, they already grew an amma each, then that's mutter. Why? It's like a sale. Even if he's not delivering the goods right now, he has the goods to deliver. Okay, earlier, it's a sale, it's fine. Not a concern of agarnata. However, less new, but if the gourds aren't in his possession yet, meaning he has the gourds, but they're still small, they haven't grown to that size yet, usher, that's going to be usher. That was the teaching, that was what Rav was talking about when he's talking about curry, about these gourds. What's the obvious time? That's mamish the din we just spoke at before. Says the Gemara, pshita, what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush over here? If it doesn't exist, it's dagar nutter. If it does exist, then it's like a sale. What's the chiddush? Mal tema kiv demele karavu, shaper dami kamash melan. So Gemara says it's a big chiddush here. It's the same gourds that are half an amma now that will grow to be an amma. And therefore, they may have been happening even if elsewhere it's a problem, unless it's yeshlai. This is called yeshlai. This is called having it because these same gourds grow. Kamashman, it's still a problem. If they're not that size right now, it still is an issue. Come on. Says Mara, who does Rav go like? Which Tanakh? Tanakh goes like following Tanakh. Tanakh will enter by side. Look, is Ezav. A farmer is going to milk his goats. Filkas Rechelev to shear his female sheep. Filurdes as they go use. Filurdes as kavartai or to go get honey from his beehive. Matzchaveri found his friend. Or his friend met him on his way to do one of these chores. Vermelin and the farmer said to the friend, I'll sell to you whatever milk my goats produce. I'm selling to you at X price. What my use with the shearings that I'm going to get from them or the honey that's going to come from the beehive. Let's make a fixed price and whatever I produce, whatever I get, will come to you. Mutter. That's mutter. You know what we call that in English? It's a sale. We call that a sale. Why is that a sale? And there's no, even though somebody's paying the money up front, because the buyer is the chayra taking risk of whatever he's paying for, he may get much less, right? The issue with a forward contract is when the buyer is getting a benefit, getting more because he's paying money early. There's not to say a benefit over here. There's not a benefit over here. The buyer is getting delivery of whatever it is. If it's a shvacha crop, he gets a shvacha crop. He bought the rights, he bought the option to that crop, and therefore, that's not an issue of ribbis. Okay. If he says, what my goats produce milk, this amount is sold to you, and he's giving to him at a cheaper price, he's guaranteeing him an amount, and at a cheaper price. He says anything about the shearings of the wool, or by the honey of the beehive, that's usher. That's a problem. V'yafagav demela karavu. Even though the milk, the wool, the honey, they all are produced on their own. It's like the gourd that goes from half an amma to an amma. Still it's a problem. Kiv lasma yishayta usher. Since at the time they made the agreement, the amount that he's guaranteeing to deliver them wasn't necessarily there yet. It's only growing later. Since he guaranteed a minimum to the buyer, then already their money's guaranteed. Once there's somewhat of an achrayas, somewhat of a guarantee to the person who's giving the money, and it's not having a transaction this minute. If it's happening this minute, it's a sale. But it's not happening right now. It's happening over time. So then there's somewhat of like a loan with a guarantee repayback plus maybe extra or cheaper price. That's a problem of ribbis. Ikadamri. Some say. Amrav. Again, the mile of the first case was, just to go over that point, the mile of the first case was that he was agreeing to take the loss also. He was agreeing that if it's a bad crop, it's his loss. Or if the value goes down, it's his loss. So all that, it makes it okay. When he's guaranteeing a minimum amount, that already makes it more curve that the buyer is protected from losses, and that makes it closer to ribbis. Ikadamri. Amarava. It's very interesting over there with Ikadamri. If you notice, it was before we said a statement from Rav. Rav said the kari, and we quoted a brisa that follows, a tana that follows, that's agrees to Rav Shita. I mean, it could be, it's the same time as Rav, or predates Rav a little bit, but fine, to Rav Shita. And then we say Ikadamri. Ikadamri normally would be, so others say, Amar Rav. Rav had a different opinion, not what we said earlier, slightly different. That would be the norm. Over here, it's Amar Rava, so Rava's different opinion, it's not Ikadamri. It's Amarava. It's an interesting mix of Ikadami Amarava. There are those that switch the gears attack because it's to Amarava. Okay, Ikadami Amarava, Kivan Dememela Karavu Shabadami. That Rava says that Taka, the gourds grow on their own, not like we said before from Rav, the gourds grow on their own, and therefore half is good enough to deliver. You can, if the market price today is a half amma, 10 gourds for a zuz, and that gives the zuz today to take possession of 10 one amma gourds for a zuz, that zuz. In a month from now, it's still fine. even though you're getting more than what the market price is, and you're giving the money earlier, which seems to be like a ribbis type idea, not a problem, because keep the mamela karava, since it grows by itself, shapadami, it's considered, the guy has right now 10 small gourd, it grows by itself, that's considered like a yeshloi, and therefore it's, we view it strictly as a mekach memker, not as a ribbis, and it's fine. We just learned the braisa. We just said if you guarantee the amount of milk, wool, the honey, it becomes usr, even though they grow on their own. On that we make a chilek. Gemara says a very big difference. By the gourds, it's the gourd itself that's growing bigger. This gourd is growing bigger. If you cut this gourd away, no other gourd is going to come typically in a season. It grows the gourd, that's it. No other gourd is coming in its place. And therefore, it's taka, the same gourd that's growing, that's where Rava said is leniency, that since it grows by itself, since it's the same entity, it's not a problem of it delivering more than what he paid for, because it already the item existed, and in itself grew, that's fine. In all these other cases, by the milk, it's not the same milk that's growing, new milk's being produced. New here is growing in the place of the old here. I mean, again, it sounds the same thing by gourd, but it's not. If you cut this here, the other here is still going to grow. If you milk the milk that's in the cow already now, then the other milk is going to grow. And the same thing with the sharings. The new sharings are coming into place with the honey. New honey will come into place. Over there by the gourd, this is the gourd itself that's growing bigger. This gourd itself is growing bigger. If you cut this gourd, another gourd is not necessarily coming into place. And therefore, by gourd dafka, do we say it works? It's called yeshlai. By these others in the brisa, the reason why it doesn't work is because it's not exactly the same thing. It's not considered memela kasi. Amar bai. Shari le inch lemem le chavre. A man can say to his friend, "Hey, lech arba zozi achavit chamra. Take this four zos for a barrel of wine that you have, a certain barrel of wine that you have in stock. Itak for shusach. If it turns sour in your rishus, if it turns sour before you deliver it to me, brishusach, it belongs to you. Iyikara izila brishusi. But if the wine itself goes up in value, then it's a marishus. It's my benefit or my loss." What's interesting over here is the owner of the wine gets the money for the wine, and he takes responsibility if it sours, and still that's not a problem of ribbis. He's delivering it later, maybe more valuable. The reason is, the Gemara's going to address right now. It says, Gemara, Amav Sherbe Labaye. So what's Pshat? Why is Rabbi allowing this? Why is it not a problem of giving money earlier, delivering the goods later, and a certain level of responsibility of a chrayas from the seller to the buyer, which makes it almost like a ribbis of a leva to a malvis? That's Gemara Tapa on Beis. This transaction is for the guy giving the money. He's getting a bigger benefit. His sad to lose is the market goes down. He's sad to lose, but otherwise, it's guaranteed that his wine is not going to sour because the guy can't deliver to him sour wine. If it goes sour, he has to give back the money, and it may also go up. L'chur, he's getting all the benefit. Mar says no. Amalei keeping the mekab is back. Keeping the kabbalei zula karev lezev lezehu. No, once you're willing to accept the market fluctuations of going up and down in price, that's already enough. So it's okay if the seller accepts the spoilage. As long as the buyer is accepting, if it goes up in value, my benefit. If it goes down, it's my loss. Then the buyer already is kind of invested in the deal. It's like an investment into the deal, and therefore it's a purchase. It's an investment. It's a purchase, not considered a loan with a karev leschar and rach lefsin. And therefore, it's okay. The concern again is if it's karev le. The schar and Rachel Hefsid, it's not so much an investment anymore. It's more like a loan. We call loans investments, but it's not really an investment. It's a loan because your money's pretty much protected, and you only have upside to benefit. That's basically a loan with ribbis, and therefore it's a problem. If it's already there, you're opening yourself up to some of the risk. Then it's not an issue. So to Mishnah, Hamavas Chaveri Le Yadur Bechaser Bechinam. This is a very, very sage take of Mishnah Gemara, and how far we take this is very well, very relevant. Are you allowed to say good Shabbos? If you didn't normally say good Shabbos to the guy who lent you money, now he lent you money, you got to know him, you got to see him, but you may not have said Shabbos until now. Now you would give him a Gishmak Shabbos. Is that a problem? Because you're partially doing it because he lent you money. That's mamish. The basis of that conversation is this Mishnah. Hamavis Chaveri, one who lent his friend money, the lender cannot dwell in the chatzer of the borrower for free. And he came and rented for less. If the market rate that he rents out his Airbnb, his house, is for $2,000 a week, and for this guy he's going to charge, the lender is only charging $1,000 a week, that's a problem. That's also ribbis. Meshu ribbis has a Mishnah, because that is all ribbis. Even though we've taught elsewhere that a person who lives, if it sounds familiar, It should. We have this multiple times about Vakama, towards the beginning of Masechta and towards the end. We have this on Daf Chafalov and Daf Sadeh Zayin, that when this is done as a chaser, if one is dur and a chatz of chaveri without das, he need not pay schar because the other guy didn't lose anything. The halacha is, and meaning he doesn't owe money. It's not considered, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, because it's still an act of geneva, but he doesn't owe money. So even though we say he doesn't have to pay schar, the one who dwelled in his friend's rishos without permission, halveyu v'darbachetzerai, if he lent money to the owner of the courtyard, and then he went to dwell in the courtyard, someone else who dwelled there wouldn't have to pay schar, and he has to pay schar, because you know what, if he's not paying schar, it looks like he's getting it for free because he lent money, and it has an appearance of, as a parent, again, it's obviously not ribbis. If someone else could be there for free, then him being there is not ribbis, but it certainly has the appearance of ribbis, and therefore it's a problem. My kamash basmar, what's the chiddush? What's from Nachma teaching us? Tanina. We learned it in our Mishnah. Hamavas chavileyo debechatzer chinam, fleska menapachas, meshuk ribbis. That's mamish our Mishnah. One who lent money to his friend should not dwell in his rishos for free, or even at a cheaper rate, because it looks like ribbis. Is that not rachav zin? What's he adding to the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara imasisa, and if it's just for the Mishnah, hapamina hani mili, bechatz de kaimel agra, the gavadav of the megar. This can sound familiar from above commentaries. I would have thought that when is it okay? When are we saying? Let me go opposite. When in our Mishnah we're saying it's a problem of ribbis, is dafka a chatzah that's destined to be rented out, and a guy who is someone that rents, he pays rent to where he lives. A guy who's normal to pay rent, and a property or a chatzah which is normal to rent it out, that's a problem if the guy's there for free, or even at a cheaper rate. Av a chatzah lekam agra, but a chatzah is not mekam agam, which is how we explained that case in Mavakama. We're talking about a chatzah wasn't kam agam, that's why it's zenen and zenen chaser, and therefore have to pay rent. The gavle of the maker, and this is a guy who never pays rent. This guy who's squatted there for free, he's not someone that was in the market to pay rent, so he wasn't planning to pay rent anywhere anyway. And the guy whose house was used wasn't going planning to rent it out. So the guy was there, it's a lechaser b'chlal. So I would say since lechaser b'chlal, maybe it's not a problem ribbis either. Aim a light, kamash b'lan, that legabe ribbis is still have the appearance of ribbis, and therefore it's still going to be a problem. Igadarmi, some say opposite in Rav Nachman. Opposite, well, let's say different. Amar v'yitzvah Rav Yom Nachman, afal pi she'amra adar b'chatz chaver shalav m'daitai, ain't a tzachlan zos l'schar. Even though he said that a person dwells in his friend's chatzer without permission, he need not pay rent. Halveini v'dar b'chatzeri, if a guy says, give me money alone, and I'll let you bidar in my chatzer, then tzarech lasos schar. So it's very clear. Only because he said, "Give me a loan, and I'll let you dwell in my chatzer," then it's a problem because it's clear he offered the dwelling in the chatzer together with the loan. Therefore, it's a problem. According to this version, if he wouldn't offer the dwelling to get the loan, he just would dwell there, and it's a chatzer that's normal for people to if people go there, squat there for they don't have to pay rent, then the lender would not have a problem being there. According to the second version, manda maveo, the one who said Rabbi Nachman asserted it. Even when he had a prior given a loan and later is dwelling, that's our first version of Nachman. Kol Shkenavani, certainly this most recent case where he spoke it out verbally at the time of the loan. Lend me money, and I'll let you dwell in my chutzner. That's for sure, Usser. Even Hoveo's Usser. Mandam Alveni, but the one who says it's the most recent version of Rav Nachman, the one who says it's Dafka by Alveni, maybe that's Dafka, it's also where he connected to the loan. Avol, Alveu, but if the Stamazer was a loan that already took place, and then the lender wants to happen to just spend Shabbos as a guest in the house of the borrower, it wouldn't be a problem. My Taima, Kidmaker love that Tacha Isve, since he didn't do the loan with that in mind, less Lamba, we're not worried about it. And again, to remind us, we're talking about a case where if someone else would squat in the same situation, wouldn't have to pay. The squatter wouldn't have to pay. So the squatter wouldn't have to pay, and the loan wasn't done on this das. They're not a problem for the lender to stay by the borrower's house. That's because you have two more lines. It will stop. Rabbeis Bachama Takav Oved Takav Avdi the Inish Damascus Bezuzay. Rabbeis, actually, we're going to get to the top of Samach Chaim and Alf. Goes quickly. Rabbeis Bachama, he would grab the slaves of people who owed him money, Vavu Avite, and he would work with them. That sounds very fishy. He's having people that owed him money, which presumably are still going to pay him the full amount they owed him. And he took their slaves, he seized them, the slaves, to work for him. That usage of the slaves should be like ribbis. Amri Rav Brace, Rav, the son of Reis Mechama, said to his father, "My time, Marachim, why are you doing this? Why aren't you concerned about ribbis?" He said, because I hold like Rav Nachman, who says, Rav Nachman says about an Evan, he's not really even worth the amount it costs to feed him. The amount it costs to give him room and board is more than the value of the Evan, is more in Gittin, on Dafid Beis. The amount that it costs to take care of him is more than the work that he produces. And therefore, when I'm taking this Eved away from the master to work for me, I'm actually giving him a benefit. Now, he's not giving me a benefit. Ribbis would be a problem if I, the Malva, I'm receiving benefit. I'm giving him a benefit. Not a problem, Ribbis. Armalei. So Rav said back, very nice. So Rav Nachman going Dari Avde. Nachman said that like his Eved Dari, Demrakit Bekuve, who used to dance in the taverns. He was, a jokester. That was his job. He wasn't really producing that much for Rav Nachman. Avde Achinim Amr, was it said about all slaves that they're not worth more than they produce? Amar Lei, Anak Yadar of Daniel Bakhtino, Amar Rav Shvili. So Rav Yitzchak Muhammad told Rava, yes, I hold it for Daniel Bakhtino, saying they were Rav, the Amar take of Avde Shechaviri Vasabem Lechapater, one who grabs his friend's Evan and does work with his friend's Evan, is Pater, top of Samachem and Aleph, Denichle, Blenistri Avde, because it's the owner is happy that his Eved shouldn't be accustomed to being lazy. Look at Tav Rashi. Shle Yargil Lies Batlavis Atzel Nistri. The Nistri Hatov Meshamesh Viderchus Balam. Okay, that's Rashi gets into the gears of the tiktok. But the point is that the person wants his Eved to be constantly working because the more work you can say the Eved gets weaker that way. The idea is the more work he does, the more used he is to doing the work, and therefore it's better for the master. It's better for the master itself. Fine. So therefore, says Rav Chama Bar to his son Rava. That's why I take the avadim of the people that owe me money, and I work them. I'm doing them a favor, and therefore it's not a problem. Ask Gemara Amalei Rava. So Rava says, we'll stop with this for real. Hani Mili, Heiklamas Beizuzai. Mark Yudas Beizuzai Mechz Gribes. That's all good when there's no loan involved. When there's loan involved, the rules changed. When there's the loan involved, it has the appearance of ribbis, and that itself is a problem. Dhamma based by Mamma Rachman, Af Bishadar, like we just said when we started this Gemara, Af Al Bishamar Shamru, Hadab Khatzhaver Shlomidai, Inzakhlausar, even if we say that a person squatted in his friend's chutzir, a chutz that wasn't meant to be rented out, and a guy that wasn't meant to pay rent, the halach is you don't have to pay Zenev the chutzir, and you don't have to pay any schar. Abhilveyu, if he's a lender, and then he dwelled in the chutzir of the borrower. Even though it's clearly not a monetary benefit, in that sense, you have to pay schar because since there's a loan involved, it's at least, very least, a mechzik ribbis. So when Rav Yosef Bar Chama heard this from Ravi, he said, you know what? I'm only hundred B. I hear, you're right. Then I shouldn't do it. I should no longer will be seizing the slaves. I thought I'm doing them a favor, and if it's not a problem, you're saying even if I'm doing them a favor, since there's at least a mechzik ribbis element, an issue I have to be concerned for, and therefore I'm going to stop doing a pause of here and pick up from Amar Abaye tomorrow. And so tomorrow morning, tomorrow's Friday,